Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Is everybody there yet? Hallelujah. Visualization is good. In verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. And of course, the Lord's response is, yet you shall be brought down the Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Lucifer, an angelic being, created by God as a light bearer. His desire was to be as God. And he wanted to be worship, setting himself above the throne of God. So there was something about Lucifer who wanted to set himself above God's throne. Now, that's got to be plumb nuts. I mean, it is total deception. But in this, his pride was so blown up and arrogant that he was blinded. The only thing he wanted is to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped like he worshipped God and the angels worshipped God. In Ezekiel 28, in verse 12, it's another prophecy, a prophetic word from Ezekiel that the Lord showed him about Lucifer. And he says, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Why? Because he was one of the first angels created. He carried one of the most important parts of God's plan. God, the breath of God breathed through Lucifer to establish praise and worship through the whole universe. It says in verse 14, you are the anointed cherub who covers. What does he do? He covers the universe with praise and worship. I established you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. At that time, the holy mountain of God was known as the earth. You are perfect in all of your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Again, Lucifer was an anointed cherub. We're going to talk more about this. But I want you to know that cherubs were always surrounded the throne of God. They surrounded the throne. Now, there are certain different types of cherubs. And when you say cherub or cherubim, it means that there's more than one cherub. There's seraph and then seraphims. There's all kinds of angelic beings. But Lucifer was an anointed cherub of worship to God, a leader of worship all the way through the universe. Angels play different roles and positions, and they're all created by God to support His plan, His presence, and His glory. What are they to do? Support His plan, His presence, and His glory. They have a free will, and not all of them have wings. Lucifer rebelled and now works against God and mankind. They are called fallen angels with a false hope, deception, and they're loyal to Lucifer's kingdom of darkness, and his purpose is to prevent man from access to the throne of glory, which is only allowed through Jesus Christ. Their purpose is to prevent man to get to the throne of glory. So they will do anything they can to keep you in the outer court and even in the holy place. They'll do everything they can to keep you and prevent you from into the Holy of Holies. Because the Holy of Holies is the extension into the throne of glory. Is everybody okay? We've been talking about the tabernacle and the importance of the tabernacle. And it was put on my heart to express a little bit more about the throne of glory. What is there? What's going on there? And Revelation chapter 12. In verse 1. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, which was associated with the angels, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon, who is associated also with Lucifer, the devil, the serpent, so forth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. His throne. Is everybody with me? In verse 7. Then a woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, which is part of tribulation, which we're getting ready to get to. The woman is associated not only with the bride of Christ, but also as Israel. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and a dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. In other words, eventually they will come from the unseen realm into the seen realm. And man will begin to see these angelic beings in another form. So the great dragon was cast out, the devil, the serpent of old. Called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Again, the dragon is and the devil, Satan and Lucifer, cast from the throne of God's glory to the earth. In other words, he first was removed from God's glory. Amen. Then eventually he'll be removed from the spirit realm and have to come into the physical realm. So there's two removals that happened to Lucifer and these angels. The first removal was from the throne room of glory, God's glory. They were removed from that realm. And then the next place that you'll see during tribulation is they will come into the physical realm in many forms. Now, we know that angels don't reproduce. Amen? They don't have offsprings amongst one another. They're angelic beings, aren't they? So until they put on flesh, can they produce offsprings? But they must use a human to produce offsprings. Amen? So we're going to see many things begin to escalate in many ways. Again, their purpose is to prevent individuals from accessing the throne of glory. They don't want you in that realm. Why? Because they were removed from that realm. Does everybody get it? They hate you because you have access to it. And many people don't even get there. They're still too busy with their lives. Oh, hallelujah. And Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. He's passed where? Through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Well, where did he pass through the heavens to? The throne of what? Glory. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come what? Boldly to the throne of grace, which is known as the throne of glory, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The throne of grace. It's a place where you and I obtain mercy. Mercy means consider me. Grace is when God releases his plan after he considers you. Amen? And we access by petition, or we access by the petition, not only by the petition, but also through the chamber of the tabernacle. It is known as the third chamber. It is the extension to the throne of God's glory. In fact, the third chamber of the tabernacle was a replica of God's throne of glory, which in the Old Testament, no one could access except for the priest once a year. And he better not mess up, or he gets messed up. Exodus 25. You know, if we could actually really see what's going on there when we are praising and worshiping and surrendering and boldly getting through and busting through, it'd blow you away. Exodus 25 and 17. And the Lord commanded Moses, he said, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 what? Cherubim. Why? Because cherubs are around the throne of glory. Of gold. Remember, gold is associated with divine. Of hammered work, you shall make them at the ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end, and you shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I have given you. And there I will meet with you. There I will what? Meet with you. I love this. And I will what? Speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony. So where is the Lord going to meet you? Between where? The 2 cherubim. Above what? The mercy seat. And where is this at now? The throne of glory. And he's going to meet and talk with them about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. In other words, we go there to receive instruction. We go there to receive the next command that he has for us. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. In Revelation 4, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal in the midst of the throne, and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. Verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they did not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. That is still going on now. It does not stop. Never does it stop. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and only by you will they exist and were created. So they began to worship the Creator. They were at the throne of glory. What was that? The throne of living creatures, 24 elders, full of eyes, living creatures full of eyes, six wings, multiple faces, specific meanings. In Isaiah 6, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to bring an impartation, a visualization of the throne. So as you worship, certain things begin to get released. You know, the Bible says, seek the face of the Lord. Well, let me tell you, nobody can see his face. You'd die. That's why Jesus came, so we seek his face. Has everybody got it? Because nobody can get close enough to God Almighty except for Jesus and live. Even the angels have to cover themselves. Try and comprehend that. Like I've said before, we don't know nothing. And what we know is sufficient, but it's nothing compared to who he is and what he has set for us. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, would you read it with me? And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood what? So seraphim are above the throne. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. Why did he cover his face? Because they would blow up. With two, covers his feet. Why? Feet are considered unholy. They're not clean. And with two, they flew. So they had six wings. Two covered their face, two covered their feet, and two flew. And one cried to the other, said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, when they mean about the whole earth filled with his glory, it's because they see everything he's created. It's an expression of his glory. You know, I mean, if you get really into the intricate arena of how a human body operates, it's phenomenal. How about an ant? Or a spider? Or an amoeba? You know, you get really deep into these things. It's like, man, they're mechanical things. It's just phenomenal. In verse 4, "And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.'" Isaiah is comparing, because he's sensing God's purity and glory. It's radiating so powerful. And this is a vision. "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal," a live coal. Everything in his realm is alive. "He had a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Who keep on seeing, but do not perceive. And make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy. I mean, their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed.'" In other words, they're dull. And that's what happens when you're not consistent. These are the things that happen when you are not consistent in attaching yourself to the tabernacle. That's why he says, "Forsake not to assemble." What happens? Your ears get heavy. In other words, they get clogged. You're not sensitive enough anymore. Your eyes, they don't see like they should see. Understanding becomes clogged and dull. The sensitivity and discernment is not where it used to be. Now, we can come together and worship the Lord, but you may be somewhere else. And this is where he says, many come and worship me, but their heart's not there. They worship me with their lips, but their heart is in Alaska. That's why he says, seek the Lord with all of your soul. That means your mind, your will, and your emotions. All of you seek. That's why you shut your eyes and you let the Spirit take you. You don't have to look around a room to tell who's doing what. Ain't none of your stinking business anyways. It's between you and God. If you have a hard problem closing your eyes and worshiping the Lord, you better get rid of that spirit. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 99. Remember, what is the enemy trying to do? Prevent you from accessing the throne of glory. Psalm 99, verse 1, would you read it with me? The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. Let the Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for he is what? Holy. So he dwells between the cherubim, and around the throne there are cherubim, and the seraphim are above the throne. In Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. Starting at verse 1. And I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub. Fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. Then the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple. And the man went in and the court filled the inner court. So there is a inner, outer, and glory court there. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard in the, even in the what? Outer court. Like the voice of Almighty God when he speaks. Then it happened when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood beside the wheels. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by each other cherub. The wheels appeared to have the color of braille stone. As for their appearance, all four looked alike, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four directions. They did not turn aside when they went, but followed in the direction the head was facing. They did not turn aside when they went. And their whole body, when they're with their back, their hands, their wings, and their wheels, that the forehead were full of eyes all around. Come on, tell me the people wouldn't be flipping out there. What? But see, the radiance of God's love and glory is so intense. See, he knows all, sees all. He's not only omnipresent, but he's omnipotent. Verse 13, and as for the wheels, they were called in my hearing wheel. Each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man. The third face was the face of a lion, and the fourth face was the face of an eagle. And a cherubim lifted up, and this was the living creature I saw by the river Shabar. So he's realizing that this one, now some of these cherubs were also known as living creatures. When the cherubim went up, the wheels went beside them. And when the cherubim lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also did not turn from beside them. When a cherubim stood still, the wheel stood still. When one was lifted up, the other lifted itself up. For the spirit of the living creature was in where? The wheels. Their spirit was in the wheels. Don't ask me to explain that. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them. This is the living creature I saw under the God of Israel by the river Shebar, and I knew they were cherubim. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. And the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings. Now, again, these cherubim, four living creatures, had four wings. The seraphim had six wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same as the faces which I had seen by the river Shebar. Their appearance and their persons, they each went straight forward. Oh. Cherubim. Remember it said that and when the Lord was rebuking Lucifer, he says, you were the what? Anointed cherub. So don't let anybody kid you. He is very powerful. He is full of wisdom. He'll outwit any person that's not walking in the Spirit, or any person that's not connected to the tabernacle, to understand the importance of being connected to the tabernacle. You eventually drift, even though you're quoting scriptures, even though you're listening to Christian radio stations. Hello. In Genesis chapter 3. In verse 22, after Adam and Eve fell, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. To know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man and he placed a what? Cherubim. In other words, one at the entrance. I don't know if there was an exit, but he placed two of them there. And what did he place him with? A flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So this cherub was a defender. He was a warrior. Amen. He was protecting the tree of life. Ezekiel chapter 1. In verse 4. Man, I'd like to hang out with Ezekiel for a while. I'm telling you, after I got saved, after my encounter with the Lord, I read Ezekiel. I was in Ezekiel, man. I was waiting for more stuff to happen. I would read Ezekiel all the time. Yeah. Like, yeah. What are you reading, Ezekiel? I always said, what are you reading, Ezekiel? Then after a while, it was Philippians. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. Hello! So the Spirit revealed to us, right? Behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and the brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like a color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. Now we know bronze is the color of suffering, isn't it? Or judgment. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides. Each one of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Now, there's something I'm going to explain about the faces. Man, this is spoken about God's creation. It was a representation. The four living creatures are also associated with the four Gospels. But each one had a face of a man. Remember, this is a reflection of God's creation. Why? Man had a mind and reason, right? Had affections. Everything about the face of a man encompassed human creation. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Now, a lion is associated with strength, fierce, majestic, and most royal of all animals. So again, now, did Jesus come as a man? Yeah. Does everybody see the reflection? He came as a man. He's known as the what? The Lion of Judah. Everything revolves and reflects Jesus. Everything. Each one had a face of an ox on the left side. Now, an ox is an animal that is patiently labors. It's an animal that patiently labors for his owner. He's strong and able to bear burdens. And there's something very important. He knows his owner. An ox. Was Jesus patiently laboring for his owner? Was he patient? Was he strong and able to bear burdens? Amen. And each of the four had a face of an eagle. Now, an eagle is known as the divine bird that flies above the storm. It is strong, it is powerful, and it never becomes weary. Never becomes weary. And of course, we spoke that its delicacy is serpents, snakes. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further here. Thus their faces, verse 11, thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward, two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. Now, you got to remember something. This is the throne of glory. The throne goes anywhere. It doesn't stay in one place. God's throne goes everywhere and anywhere. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in the appearance like a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of Braille, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. In verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagle, like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 5, I shared before about a vision I had when I was at a meeting in Virginia, and how I, in the worship service, I saw a cloud, and it was floating, and I saw, I didn't see so clear. I saw four angels, but they were goldish glowing, and I saw almost like a big chair, like a throne chair. I couldn't see everything very clear. The only thing I really saw clearly was there was an angel leaning over the cloud pouring out this gold. It was like honey. And he was just pouring it out on everyone. And I'm telling you, this place was rocking. People were just falling. It was like, I mean, like, you know, talk about doing cartwheels. My gosh, this place was crazy. And the glory and the presence of God was phenomenal. And I danced like David danced, let me tell you. It was great. And I, when I had that vision, it changed me. I was no longer disco ducking. I was worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying. In other words, even the creatures spoke. All the animals that you and I don't see speak, they released a voice. Not that it came from them, they resonated a sound. And that sound of every worm and every ant and every flying whatever and all the creatures all over all the creation were releasing a resonating the sound and saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Phew. Revelation 15. In verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle. The temple of what? The tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was completed. In Revelation 19, Revelation 19 and verse 1. Oh, we're going to penetrate to the throne room of God, the throne of glory. There's going to be an impartation. Hallelujah. Man, I just get filled reading this. It's like, man, you can just step off the cliff. Man, you're there. You can begin to see and sense and sense the radiance of everything of God's creation just beginning to release the sound. And after these things, I heard a loud voice of the great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to our God. For true and righteous are his judgments because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen and Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who bear him both small and great, and fear him both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of the great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who's his wife? We are. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, you don't want to miss this dinner. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God, and I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you don't do that. I'm your fellow servant. Hello. He thought he was talking to an angel. But he came as a man. Does everybody understand it? He was his fellow servant. Why? Because we work together. And we've got to begin to look and see these things. That we work together. We don't command angels. You don't command angels. You ask God to dispatch his angels. You do not. That's not your authority. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because your relationship is with the Lord. Lord, please send your angels on my behalf today. No problem, son. We don't command angels. Angels do not obey you. They obey the Creator. I am your fellow servant and your brethren whom we have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head was many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and what? Lord of Lords. Revelation 20. Oh, praise God. In verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and on him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. They couldn't look at him. And there was no place, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You want to make sure your name stays in there. Revelation 22. In verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The throne of glory. Man, you go home and read these scriptures and I tell you, you'll be taken. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, but not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we are new. And we are new, and we have the boldness to access the throne room of glory. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Hallelujah. Yes. Bring us there. Bring us there, Lord. Bring us there. Bring us to that place where it truly is. No longer we that live, but you that live. Lord, bring us there, Lord, that the arena of reality, of your radiance and your love and your glory and your power. Help us to comprehend, Lord. Help us to be disciplined to grab hold of you and not let go. Help us to be consistent in all things, that we become more like you. Grant us those eyes. Grant us those ears. And grant us a heart of understanding, that your name would be glorified in each and every one of us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.